Hey, good evening, Life Point. Put your hands together. Come on, let's worship it.
Hey. Oh, you are God, and we lift you up. We keep singing, we keep praising, we won't stop giving all we got. You're worthy of all glory. Oh, there is no other. You are forever Lord over all. There's nobody like you, no one beside you.
Sing it out.
To
Jesus in this place. Awesome. So it's good to see you here this afternoon. So what we're going to do right now is high five two or three people, say, hey, Merry Christmas. Awesome to see you here as we continue to worship.
Unto us a child is born.
Let's rejoice this afternoon. Will you rejoice with us? What a great song. And there's so much rich theology in those songs, isn't there? And Christmas songs can be worship songs. Isn't that great? Yes, are you guys with me? I guess you can be seated. Go ahead and be seated. That's all right. We're kind of casual here in the 1 o'clock service anyway. My name's Randy. I'm one of the pastors here at Life Point. And man, we're just glad you're with us today. That, man, in the afternoon, things get mellower. I think people just are serious about coming to church. I love that about you guys. And man, if there's anyone here who's just visiting for the first time, let's give it up for our guests today. We just love that. We really do. We're switching things up a little bit in the way we normally do our services since this is kind of a special day for Christmas. So I'm going to ask our ushers to come forth to receive our tithes and offerings this afternoon. And as they do, I just want to kind of talk with you a little bit about why we do tithes and offerings. God is a generous God. Think about all that He gives us. He gives us His Word. He gives us His Spirit, He gives us His people, and He gave us His Son. All those things are hallmarks of a generous God. And one of the things that we do in response to that generosity as a continuation of our worship, we just give. Does that make sense, y'all? I mean, we're just mirroring who God really is back to Him through our tithes and offerings. Yeah, we'll take some clapping for that for sure. And so as we come this afternoon to this moment, just kind of keep that in mind, that we are giving back to God who gave to us immensely. He just gave us everything we needed. We're actually going to talk with the kids here in a bit about some of that. Let's pray. Father God, I thank You and praise You for all Your gifts and blessings. Father God, I believe and know that You are with us today and You are wanting to make Yourself known, and I pray that by Your Spirit You would do that today. Bless these tithes and offerings, Lord God, as they go to the missionaries and to the different church plants that we sponsor, Lord God. We just want it to do Your business until You return for us, and we thank You for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. While you guys are passing the buckets, I got some friends over here I need to talk to. Old Pastor Randy has some people he needs to talk with about Christmas. Yeah, okay. You guys didn't scare you at all? How are you guys doing? Awesome. I'm glad you guys made it out. What do you think of the fire? It's pretty cool, isn't it? Well, I wanted to talk. You can come sit a little closer if you want. I wanted to talk with you all a little bit about Christmas. Who here loves Christmas? Yes. Who here, what are some things you like about Christmas or you love about Christmas? Let's hear it. It's Jesus' birthday. That's a great thing about Christmas. What about going to visit friends and family? Is that something you like about Christmas? Yes. What else? I figured someone would say presents. Very good. Yes. And spending time with family. Very, very good. Those are great. And Christmas trees. I think the list is going to go on now. You guys know a lot about Christmas. Let's talk about presents for a second. Let's talk about our favorite Christmas present ever. What are some of your favorite Christmas presents that you've ever gotten? An Xbox One. Excellent. A cool doll. Excellent. What else? Jesus, that's the best present. We're actually going to talk about that in a second. Anybody else get anything super cool for Christmas when they were a kid? What? I thought you said dirt. That's a present I got quite a bit. Oh, that's awesome, you guys.
And a Christmas house.
And a Christmas house.
And also a Christmas sweater.
A Christmas sweater too, right on. Those are perfect. Can I tell you guys? Can I tell you guys about a gift that I got one time?
Yeah.
When I was a kid, way, way back in the 1960s, yes, I know, that's a long time ago, when I was in second grade, I saw this commercial on TV, and it was for a pair of shoes called PF Flyers. Does anyone remember PF Flyers? Anyone else? They're still around, I think. But guess what these shoes were, when you wore these shoes, if you looked at the commercial, when you wore these shoes, you could be fast and you could jump high and you could climb way far up into trees. And And so I got him for Christmas, and guess what happened?
And I saw a spider.
And you saw a spider in your house? For Christmas? Did you get him a present? Okay.
I got one at home.
I gotcha. This is Jocelyn. Jocelyn? Very, very good. My story's probably going to end up falling flat now because... anyway, my PF flyers, it turns out that you had to have the right jeans, not the right shoes, if you wanted to run fast and jump high. That's a biology joke, by the way. Anyway, all right, enough of that. How many of you like to give gifts? Who likes to give gifts to people? Maybe you colored something or painted something or you glued something in school and made a craft. You guys like to do that? What does it feel like when you give gifts? How do you feel inside when you give gifts? You feel good inside, don't you? Do you feel happy? Do you feel joyful? And when you gave it away, did it make you feel happy for that person that you gave it to? Yes. Every year it's important that we remember the main reason we celebrate Christmas. And some of you mentioned it already. It's Jesus' birthday. He's the greatest present that God ever gave to us.
And we put him under the tree.
And we put him under the tree too? That's awesome. That's what we're supposed to do. And then we open him up, don't we? Jesus, I'm losing complete control of this. Have you guys noticed that, right? Exactly. Being nice to kids. So here's what I want us to learn about Jesus, and here's what I want us to know about Jesus. Jesus was the greatest present that could ever be given to us. He was given to us personally by God, and it cost God quite a bit to come to us. Man, that is so cool. You got Christmas figured out. Do you sing Happy Birthday to Jesus too? Very good. That's very cool. We learn from the Bible. Hey, listen, guys. We learn from the Bible that here Jesus came to us as a baby, just like us. And he lived as a boy, and he had parents just like we do. And he wore diapers just like some of us have worn in the past. And he had a bedtime. Jesus had a bedtime and had to brush his teeth before bed and everything. But just like you and me, that's who Jesus is. Scripture says he's, say that again.
And we go to sleep.
And we go to sleep. After we go to bed, we go to sleep. I'm going to get a nap after this too. We find out from the Bible and from Scripture that Jesus is the exact representation of who God is. The exact representation. I have another question for you guys. Have you ever gotten a gift that you didn't think you would like, but after a while you kind of liked it? Those are kind of interesting. Can I tell you about a gift that I got as a kid? So when I was in sixth grade, I got a pair of big old rubber boots that fit over my shoes. They're called galoshes. Have you guys ever heard of galoshes before? And when I got them, I thought, man, I wanted something cool like some Matchbox cars or maybe a cool skateboard or something. But I got these big old boots that didn't seem to have a purpose. But guess what we did? The very next year, we moved to a place called Seattle. Have you guys heard of Seattle before? Guess what happens in Seattle a lot? It rains and it rains and it rains and it rains. And so when I would walk to school, and yes, back in those days, kids, we walked to school. And when I would walk to school, my shoes would get really, really wet. And then I remembered, I have galoshes. I don't have to get my shoes wet anymore. And I pulled those boots over my shoes. And when I walked to school, I didn't get wet. So what I thought was kind of a dumb present ended up being a cool present. Isn't that great? Sometimes we need to focus on that. I'm just going to let her sit here. I'm almost finished. Can I ask you a few more questions here? Here's how Jesus came to us. Even though he's God, he came to us like the rest of us do. When his mom was ready, she gave birth to him. And he was tucked away in a small manger, and he was all wrapped up, like we wrap up Christmas presents when you think about it. And he was tucked away in a remote part of the world, waiting to be opened, waiting to be experienced by people who were looking for him. Jesus wasn't just given for special to special people or for special people like rich people or smart people or celebrities. He was given to all of us. Isn't that great? He was given to every one of us, not people who earned it or were the smartest or the best looking or the richest. He came for all of us. What do you think, y'all? That's pretty good, isn't it? Yeah. The last question. Guess who the gift of Jesus is actually for? You and you and you and you and you, all of us, and you. Isn't that great? Jesus came for all of us to show us the way back to God. And yes, especially. I have a few more things. Jesus is the best gift ever. Jesus is a gift from God. He's proof that God really loves us. He's proof that God really is in charge. And snowing. And he's proof. Hey, you know what we should do? Man, I love you guys. These guys are actually way better than the service before, by the way, just so you know. This is awesome. Let's do this. The coming of Jesus is actually the culmination of a very old story. Let's check out something on the screen now.
He appeared, and the soul felt it. Can we give it up for Jesus this morning? Come on, everybody. Come on, worship the Lord this afternoon. We bless your name, God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Man, best Christmas song there is. Am I right, everybody? Come on, how great is this All Holy Night? It's especially great when there's a powerhouse band and worship team and leaders singing it. Thank you so much, Tyrone. Love you, man. Hey, while you're standing, go ahead and grab your candles this afternoon. How many of you glad you came to Life Point so far today? Praise God. What an incredible night that was. I don't know about you, but I love the theology of the song, O Holy Night. God is revealing his son to all of us, and everything is becoming right in our world. It's the greatest gift ever given. How else can we respond but to fall on our knees and worship? To fall on our knees and to respond by surrendering ourselves to Jesus. It's a tradition at our church we've done for the last few years where we sing the most famous Christmas carol, Silent Night, by candlelight. So our ushers are going to light these for you now, and I'm going to ask you to pass the light around. Now, let me just ask you to be careful with the flames. A couple years ago, a guy lit the woman's hair in front of him. That was bad enough until he almost tackled her to put it out, and that was even funnier. Not funny, but, you know, peculiar. What a night that would have been. The promise that Jesus was for us, the blessing we all now share, that Jesus would be our Savior, our Deliverer, our Healer, and our promise. Christmas is the time we remember the coming of Jesus, the birth of our Savior. And the celebration of Christmas begins with a celebration of waiting, the Advent season. In fact, the last 4 weeks we've been in waiting, a season of waiting for Christmas, which is now upon us this week. In the season of waiting, we talk about Christ coming to offer hope, Christ coming to offer peace with God, Christ coming as the greatest expression of God's love, and Christ coming to bring us joy. If you missed, by the way, the last four sermons, I encourage you to go back and get those on our podcast. In fact, the joy message, I've never preached a sermon on joy that saw so many people crying. Last year was a life changer for many of us. But now the celebration of Christmas continues as we remember the night our Savior was born. Would you join me in singing this very familiar chorus? And we'll sing it together as a big church choir. You ready?
Silent night, holy night, all is calm, all is bright, round yon virgin mother and child. Holy infant, so tender and mild, sleep in heavenly peace, sleep in heavenly peace.
Come on, let's sing it in parts, choir. You know the part. Do your best. Here we go.
Silent night, holy night, Son of God, love's pure light, radiant beams from thy holy face.
Hey, good job, choir. You did it. Way to go. Congratulations. All right, you can blow them out. Please don't blow them on the person in front of you. And there'll be a paper bucket passing to collect those from the ends of the aisles. If you could just grab that and throw your candle in there once you put the fire out, because it is a paper bucket. Can I hand you this? Thank you so much. Hey, Merry Christmas, everyone. You guys doing okay today? Are you glad you came to church on Christmas weekend? I was glad to, I didn't know I was doing that solo by myself. So, man, thank you, Jonathan, and to all of our production team. You guys have done an amazing job this weekend leading us, and this is now our fourth service. Man, we've had a full crowd in every service today. In fact, this is the fullest I've ever seen our 1 o'clock crowd. And let me just say welcome. Yeah. Hey, if you're a guest with us today, we want to say welcome to you, and we're glad you're here. We want to invite you to be a part of this church. If you're looking for a church, you found one, so no need to look any further. And we'd love for you to join us here every weekend. I do want to let you know that next Sunday, our New Year's Eve weekend, we will not have our 1 o'clock service. We're going to combine our 1 o'clock and our 11:15 together. So if you're normally in our 1 o'clock crowd, we want to invite you to be a part of our 11:15 service. Of course, we'll be online all day as well, but typically our New Year's Eve weekend service is down by almost half in attendance, and so we'll just combine our services. Now, surprise us and make a lobby campus for that 11:15 service. That would be awesome as well. We had lobby campus today in our 9:30, maybe our 11:15 as well, we did, and so it's just been a full day, a wonderful day. Again, if you're a guest with us, we say a big welcome to you, and thanks for being part of our day. LifePoint, can we welcome our guests one more time? Come on, everybody. Welcome. You know, all day we've been talking about Christmas and that holy night, that silent night, the night of the birth of Jesus. And I can't help but imagine what an incredible purpose. There was incredible purpose to what God did that night. The birth of Jesus, I don't look at as an end of a long story or even the beginning. I think of it as a transactional moment where God was continuing. This had to happen. Christ had to be born in order to live. He had to live in order to die. He had to die in order to resurrect. He had to resurrect in order to be God at the right hand of the Father. And then all these moments in the history, but honestly, that night was so powerful and so purposeful. Think about it. All of mankind was in a perpetual state of sin, fallen without hope because of brokenness and lostness and our own willingness to walk in deception. All of humanity was in a desperate need of restoration, reconnection to God, and a need for hope. The coming of Jesus was way more than about a baby being born, thankfully. The coming of Jesus was about restoring all that was lost and a repair of all that was broken because of sin. I got to just say it like this, and I've said this often, and I especially think this is true at Christmas. How great is our God? I mean, think about it. How great is our God that he looked at the state of mankind and he looked at the fallenness of where we were as humanity and he said, they'll never fix this. They'll never be right enough. They'll never be good enough. They'll never repair this. I'll have to do it for them. And he sends himself as the form of a baby. He said, I'm going to fix it for them. Every other religion, think about it this way. Every other religion teaches ways and rules to get to God. Christianity stands alone in that it teaches that God worked his way to us. And we thank God for that. What a mighty God we serve. The coming of Jesus is the restoring and the healing of relationship between us and our God. We saw in the film, The Fall of Mankind, the coming of Jesus is about hope coming to a hopeless world. I got to just say, this is not politically correct. It's not open-minded enough for many in our culture today. But I'm just going to tell you directly, there's no hope for eternal life apart from Jesus Christ. I didn't write the gospel, I simply preached the gospel. There's no other way to God but through Jesus. The coming of Jesus is, listen, about the restoring of the peace that was lost soon after our creation. Anybody else read the Bible? And three chapters in, we have the fall of mankind. I just want to go to Adam and Eve and go, really, dude? You couldn't give us 10 chapters? I just want to see paradise for one book. You couldn't have waited till the book of Numbers? That's a Bible joke. Some of you don't read your Bible, apparently. You don't know that Numbers is a book in your Bible. The coming of Jesus is about the restoring of peace. It is the truest expression of God's love to all humanity. Some of you in this room right now, you struggle with the notion that God loves you. Can I just tell you, God is so madly in love with you that he sent his own son to die for you. And whether you even accept it or not, he loves you enough to give it to you anyway. The giving of Jesus is the greatest gift of love ever given. So many of us at this Christmas time, we show how we love people by the giving and receiving of gifts. How many of you make a list and you kind of rank your list and how much you spend on everybody based on how much you like them? You know what I'm talking about. And the gifts that you give, some of you are so excited about the gifts that you're giving this week on Christmas Day. Some of you guys are like, man, I cannot wait. Some of you guys haven't shopped yet. So your wife's getting gift cards and a letter. I know exactly what's happening. You're going to give her a note that says, babe, I don't want to box you in. You just go be you and get whatever because I love you so much and I didn't shop. But our giving is so often an expression of love, and we wrap them in present in paper and we hide the expression until it's revealed. And that's exactly what God did for us in Jesus. He wrapped him in a mother's womb, and he's wrapped in swaddling cloths, and he's revealed to the world as God's greatest gift that he ever gave. And can I just tell you, even if you never accepted it, he'd still give it because he loves you. Don't ever wonder if God loves you or not. Just look to Jesus, and there's the proof that he loves you. The coming of Jesus is the full expression of the joy that only comes with God. Last week we did a message on how joy is a confidence that God's with us in the midst of everything. And the coming of Jesus is joy to the whole world. But how many of you remember that the coming of Christ is actually about the coming of God himself? See, some of us have this misguided idea that this is his boy or his stepkid or this is a baby that became God, like he grew and evolved into a deity. That's Greco-Roman theology. That's paganism. That's not the gospel. The Bible says that when he came as a baby, he was God. That he was living life as a boy and he was God as a boy. That he grew as a man and that man was God. Of all the titles given of Jesus, that he's the Son of God, he's the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. The Bible calls him the Alpha, which is the beginning of all things. He's the Omega, which is the end of all things. He's our wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Prince of Peace. But Matthew's Gospel records that the name of Jesus should be Emmanuel, which literally means God here with us. So when Jesus came, God showed up on the scene. God entered our humanity. The doctrine of incarnation tells us that God came to live with us and among us and dwell with us. He had a bedtime. He got acne. He had to go number two. Jesus, in every possible way, was one of us. Now listen, we have this view of God that he hovers over us and he never came to kind of get messy with us, but that's exactly what he did. His name's Emmanuel, God with and among and around us. He took on our flesh. He broke out with acne. He had body hair. He squabbled with his siblings. Can you imagine, like, when the kids do something wrong and you know how it is with family meeting, you go, everybody get in here. Who did it? And you know, it was never Jesus who did the wrong stuff. He just sit there like, not me. And you know, James was like, come on, Jesus, just say it was you for once. He's like, I cannot tell a lie. I honor my father and mother. I'm Jesus. He never blew it. He never screwed up, but he lived in the mess while never becoming that mess. Why? Because he's God with us. I love that he didn't stay a baby no matter what Ricky Bobby says. I love that Jesus is not just some statue or idol. He didn't stay a child. He came to live, to grow, to be a part of our world, to teach us how to live, to heal us, deliver us, set us free. He came as a baby, but that baby was God. He lived as a boy, but that boy was God. He grew to be a man, and that man was still God. And think about, he taught us how to live, how to belong to his kingdom. He taught us how to love God fully, how to love people appropriately. He was a healer, miracle worker. He raised the dead. He was full of wisdom, power. He opened blind eyes. He fed thousands with a Lunchable. He walked on water. He actually lived his life with purpose to die. And sometimes at Christmas, I think we forget the why behind this what. Why did he come? We got to remember that Jesus came with purpose. And Jesus also came as a promise from God. Go all the way back to the beginning of your Bible. You saw it in the film, The Fall of Mankind. And God responds in Genesis 3, verse 15 with the first promise. He said, through the seed of that woman, I will bring a son who will crush the head of the serpent. He will destroy the work of the enemy. That was a promise made in Genesis 3. Then Isaiah the prophet promised again that when this Christ would come, he would set all things right. He would save us all. He'd heal the world. Jesus was promised by some angels in a field one night to a few shepherds. And he said that tonight is born the King of all kings. He's the wonderful Counselor, Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. And Jesus came to this earth that night to forever be with us. But think about the moment of his birth. He was the fulfillment of a promise, not only to the world, but to this young, unmarried teenage woman named Mary. She didn't know what she was getting into when God chose her. You got to think, Mary didn't apply for the job of Jesus' mama. Some of y'all know that's true with your own kids. You're like, I didn't apply for that. But God trusted them kids to you. And in all of created history and in every era of every culture, God chose her. And he said, you have been chosen and you are highly favored among all women. I mean, can you imagine the stress and pressure that that put on Mary? Can you imagine the weight that she was carrying while gaining the weight of carrying? Can you imagine the hope she had coupled with the anxiety she felt, knowing that God himself asked her to carry the child who would become her own Savior and Lord? Jesus was not just our promised Savior, Deliverer, Redeemer, and Lord. Jesus would become the answer to a promise, the fulfillment of God's promise that he made to Mary, his mama.
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water? Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters? Did you know that your baby your baby boy has walked where angels trod, and when you kiss your baby, you've kissed the face of God. Oh, Mary.
What an amazing song. And somebody was saying to me when I told them we were doing this song, they're like, man, that song's old. I'm like, all Christmas songs are old. Jeray and Jonathan, they've killed it today. And just thank you so much for that. Here's what I want us to remember this Christmas. We're going to end with a challenge in two areas of your life. But as we get there, I want to tell you the coming of Jesus was about the fulfillment of a promise. I mean, here's the way I like to say it, and this is going to make sense to you. If you're writing notes, you can write this down. It was the plan of God to provide Jesus for our sin. There was a purpose of God to provide Jesus for our sin, but it was promised by God that he would come. How many of you know if God promises you something, it's going to happen? It's going to come to pass. And so the coming of Jesus was the fulfillment of a promise that God made that this child would change the world, that this baby would defeat the work of sin and the power of the devil in all of our lives. Christmas is not only about the coming of Jesus, the presence of Emmanuel, but the purpose of Christmas is about what God would forever do after this baby would come. See, I think a lot of times with Christmas, we think of it as this final moment of the birth of this Jesus, the birth of this baby. But like I said earlier, it's a moment of transaction in this big story that God is allowing to unfold, this big story we call redemptive history and the narrative of God's plan for all of creation. And the coming of the baby, the coming of Jesus was just a part of this big story that God is writing. Every promise made was giving hope. Every prophecy told was a reminder that God is doing something huge. And the coming of Jesus is when humanity changed forever and God would establish a new thing for all people. Pastor Randy said before at the fireside chat with the kids. By the way, wasn't that great? I mean, I love seeing Papaw Randy over there with all those kids. But he said prior to Jesus coming, you know, the way we approached God was in temples and in ritualistic ways, but Jesus was about God coming to us and approaching us in a new way. Jesus came as a baby and grew up, lived a perfect, sinless life. He developed people with purpose. He went to a cross to pay for sins. You can't really get the full picture of Christmas without seeing the Easter story too. Because honestly, if all he did was come as a baby, then that's nothing to build your faith on. But he had to live and die and raise from the dead as God forever. See, part of what he did, he raised from the dead, he resurrected from the grave, and he proved once and for all that he was God. In fact, I don't think Jesus needed to prove that he was God. Like who's he got to prove it to? Himself? But he chose to prove it for us, and then he called people to himself. He called them not only to follow him, but to follow in his footsteps. And that's where you and I actually enter into the Christmas story. See, part of God's forever plan is that the work that he began and completed, he's now handed off to us to continue to complete. Go back to the story. As Christ grew and he led ministry, as he completed his mission, he called disciples and he handed them orders. And here's what he said. Everything I've done, now you do. In fact, he said it like this. Whatever you've seen me do, you'll do. And he said, and even greater works than I've done, you will do also, because I'm going to go sit at the right hand of the Father and I'm going to anoint you to do greater works. Does anybody read that text and you go, when does that start happening? Like Jesus walked on water. I'm trying to do greater things than Jesus. I go to the water and I sink real fast. You know those people that can just lay on their back in a pool and float like forever? Not me. I'm heavy. I go right down. I can't even float. Jesus was walking. Greater things than he did. He fed thousands with fish and bread. Called my kids in the kitchen one time. I was like, girls, bring the fish and bread. We're going to do a miracle up in here. Nothing happened. See, I don't think we're meant to replicate his miracles. I think we're meant to carry on his mission. And Jesus only preached to thousands. The church now has reached millions. And we're still called to do greater things. He said, everything you've seen me do, you need to do an even greater. He said, everything that you've heard me teach, you're going to teach to other people. Matthew 28, he said, go and teach, make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything I've taught you. Then he said, everything that I am, you need to be about. Here's how Jesus said it. He said, I'm the only way. I'm the fullness of all truth, and I am the eternal life. He said, no one comes to the Father except coming through me. Now, that seems real narrow-minded and exclusive, but in fact, he goes, everyone can come, but they can only come this one way. It's the most inclusive message out there. It's everybody's welcome, and I'll pay all the hard price. I'll do all the hard lifting. I'll do all the hard work. Everybody can come this one way. It's real simple. I think God tried to, like, make it as easy as possible. He said, I'm the only way. I'm the fullness of truth. I am the eternal life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Then he said that he'd be with us forever, that his Holy Spirit would live in us and work among us, and that he would empower us to do everything he did and more, to preach and teach people what he taught. Now, God's entire plan is not just over with the baby Jesus, or even the Jesus on the cross, or even the resurrected Jesus. Now, listen, God's plan includes you and me. Have you ever written, like, thought of yourself as part of the Christmas story? Now, before some of you think I'm a heretic, which some of you probably already think that anyway. It's okay. I'm not, I don't think. That's what every heretic says. You're actually a part of the Christmas story in that you're part of the long narrative of God's redemptive plan of history. In fact, you were on his mind in Genesis 3 when God said, I'm going to crush the work of the devil for all these people. You were on Jesus' mind when he hung on that cross and he's there speechless. I wonder if he was just calling names of people that would give their lives to Jesus one day. He goes, I'm doing this for Bill. I'm doing this for Terry. I'm doing this for Susan. I'm doing this for Jamar. I'm doing this for Nathan. I'm doing this for Mike. I'm doing this for them. And you and I are part of this Christmas story. Here's how. We now get to tell the world about the Jesus that's changed our lives. We get to live with his presence. We get to live with his power. We get to walk in his anointing. And God's plan is to finish what he started, but not on his own, but with us as a part of his plan. God is still Savior. Can you say amen? But he still wants to save more people that you tell about him. God wants to save everybody that you work with. God wants to save everybody that's in your family. All the people that you're praying, God, either take them out or move them out. God still wants to save them. And here's the reality. You're praying that God would send somebody to get these people's lives right, and God's praying that you would go. Some of us are like, Lord, I wish you'd move them neighbors out of my cul-de-sac. And God's like, I wish you'd be a good neighbor and tell them about me. Don't move them, change them. You're a part of the Christmas story. The greatest gift ever given is now given through us, Jesus. God's still a healer. Somebody say amen to that. He still wants to heal more people as you pray for them. Man, we have such a germ culture now. You know what I'm saying? Like everywhere you go, they got bottles of Squirty, Germex and whatnot. And that, you know, somebody's sick for work and you say, no, 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 you stay home. Don't you come around here. You know, we like make everybody a colony of lepers. But Jesus actually walked into leper colonies and lay hands on people and they got well. Can I just, what if we took God at his word well enough that we actually, Mark 16, Jesus said, these signs will accompany believers, that they'll lay hands on sick people and the sick people will get well. Yes. Greater things. Yes. Now listen, everything that Jesus was as the great gift of God's love, we are an extension of that gift. How many of you know God's still a deliverer? God still wants to deliver people as you disciple them. Jesus was the greatest gift God ever gave. That baby came as the full expression of God's love, hope, peace, and joy. And now you and I are the extension of that gift. And we now get to be the hands and feet of Jesus. God, Jesus was the greatest gift God ever gave, and you are the greatest gift Jesus is still giving. Are y'all tracking what I'm saying? Are y'all picking up what I'm putting down? Okay, I'm just making sure. They got it in this first service. Y'all ain't yelling back as loud as they were. They were amening the fire out of this. Part of the purpose of the gift of Christmas is that God wants to now do his greatest work, and he's going to do it through us. So now let me just have you consider. You and I are now a part of the plan of Christmas. So we are, the Bible says, therefore now Christ's ambassadors, as if God is making his appeal to all people now through us. Christmas was anticipated for centuries. It's been celebrated now for 2,000 years, and Christmas is still the power and plan of God for the whole world, and you and I get to be a part of that story. Some of us have heard the story of Jesus, and we've believed it's true, but we haven't surrendered to it. We haven't accepted the truth about Jesus. Can I just urge you today, if you're a believer but not a follower, become a belonger, become a follower. We think Christmas is just about the birth, but the truth is Christmas is about the plan of God to change the world. Christ the Savior is born. So let me just ask you on the front end here, have you accepted not only that he wants to save you, but that have you accepted that he's the Lord of your life? There's a big difference in my opinion. I've said this before as a pastor. There's many people that believe Jesus is their Savior, but struggle with Jesus as Lord. They want to go to heaven, but they want to live like hell. You know what I'm saying? Like they want to go to heaven in the afterlife, but they're just trying to live like their own life. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus didn't come just to give you an eternal afterlife. He came to give you eternal living. And so the question is not, do you believe that he came? Do you believe the story is true? Have you surrendered to the story of the gospel? Listen, there's some great believers. I was a believer my whole life. I've always believed in Jesus, but I didn't start following Jesus until I was 17. I gave my life to Christ. I'll tell you who's a great believer in Jesus. The greatest believer you've ever met. Like, seriously, he knows the Bible backwards and forwards. He's so convinced of the truth of the gospel of Jesus. His name is Satan. He's the greatest believer in Jesus ever. He just doesn't follow him. And I got to be honest, that's the temptation that all of us have. We want eternal afterlife, but not eternal living. We want to believe that he's our Savior, but we just refuse to give him our lives as Lord. And let me tell you something. The greatest gift God ever gave is his Son so that you can have eternal life and eternal living. You don't have to live your own way anymore. You don't have to do it your own way anymore. Just accept the gift. His grace is sufficient for you. He likes you just like you are, all jacked up and messed up. I think he favors messed up people. I think he prefers jacked up hypocrites. It's the religious crowd that always ticked him off. They're the ones that killed him. You ain't never good enough. You ain't never right enough. You ain't never perfect enough. Welcome home. You know what I'm saying? Sometimes in the church world, and some of you are here and you're a guest and you're here because it's Christmas and you're with somebody and you didn't anticipate being called out like this. But let me tell you something. Maybe you're sitting here thinking this church is just full of hypocrites. Yep. Can all the hypocrites say amen? Amen. And so are you. I'm always amazed when people are like, that place is full of hypocrites. And I'm like, yeah, you are one too. So am I. Walmart's full of hypocrites. My dentist's office is full of hypocrites. My family reunion's full of hypocrites. I don't not get my teeth cleaned because my dentist is a hypocrite. I don't not buy ice cream at Walmart because it's full of hypocrites. Welcome home. God didn't come to this world for the well. He came for the sick. He didn't come for the righteous. He came for the broken, the destitute, the jacked up people. Paul said, we're all sinners and I'm the chief among them. That's a good pastor right there. He was honest. So look, you may have believed that the story of Jesus is true, but you've not surrendered. I'm going to invite you to do that today. Accept the full gift at Christmas this year that Jesus wants to be Lord of your whole life. He wants to be Lord of your marriage, Lord of your heart, Lord of your mouth, your finances. He wants to be Lord of your parenting. He wants to be Lord of your cul-de-sac, Lord of your job. Would you accept that gift? And then those of you that have or are about to, here's the second part. Don't you like when preachers keep telling you they're almost done? And I say this last thing, and then we close with 7 more songs. Amen. Give me that again. Well, man, we've been holding back all day. It might be time. Anybody out there today? Can you feel it? Did you know? Jesus came to set you free. All right, now stop it. Get off. We've had a pretty reserved Christmas. Now chill out. We need a praise break. That's right. Come on. Need a drummer? Come on, Ricky. Some of you white people don't know what just happened. All my friends with a little melanin in their complexion, they just got it. They know what happened. Some of you white people are like, what in the name of God? I don't even know. What happened to my preacher? Snap your tie up, sir. Jesus came to set you free, change your life, make you different. Now listen, I don't want to wait for heaven to live eternally. I want to live eternal now. Now, that's the greatest gift ever. But then, here's the second part of that. That you now become the greatest gift this world's ever seen, the church. I want to see his bride gloriously living how God's called us to live, full of conviction of the Holy Spirit, full of grace. I want us to live as people of wonder who just, oh my gosh, like Stephen, our eyes are set on Jesus all the time and we just walk with purpose and passion and promise all the time. Will you be Christ's ambassadors? Quit asking God to move your neighbors out and just get in their lives. Quit asking God to get your boss fired or dead. Some of y'all been praying. I'm praying you go straight to heaven. Soon. You need to preach to them. Don't complain about what you won't pray about. Don't gossip about who you won't preach to. We're going to be people of the Spirit. Greatest gift God ever gave is Jesus. And now you are the greatest gift God's still giving. Can we stand together? I want to ask you to go all in with Jesus today. Jonathan, some of y'all are still like, is he going to do it again? Holy Spirit, you're welcome in this house to wreck our lives, God. We need all of you and more of you and more than that, God. We'll take all you give us today. Can we open our hands to the Lord today? Come on. Lord, first thing we want to do is accept the gift of Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Lord. We go all in with Jesus today. We go all in with Jesus today. Everybody pray this with me. Say, God, I believe in Jesus. Come on, say it for real like you mean it. Say, I believe in Jesus. Say, I surrender to Jesus. I give my whole life to Jesus. I'm all yours. Spend me, Lord, at your pleasure. My family, my marriage, my singleness, my life, my money, my mouth, every part of me is yours. Say, I want to live eternally, even now. I confess my sin. I ask for your forgiveness, for your grace, for your mercy. I receive your salvation, the greatest gift I've been given. Inside this now, say, God, I'm all yours. And I will give my life to serve you, to bless others, to preach the gospel so that others can be known by Jesus. I will live for you for the rest of my life, and I'll help others know you too. In Jesus' name. Come on, give the Lord glory and honor and praise and worship today. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. What a mighty God we serve. Amen, everybody. Hey, how many of you glad you came to church for Christmas this year? Praise the Lord. And I want to say a couple of things before we go. There, I did it again. Our prayer team's always here at the end of a service. And I know Christmas and holidays are tough for some of us, especially if this is your first holiday without a loved one or you're just going through some stuff. This year's been tough. Can our prayer team pray with you before you leave? There's no rush for you to get out of here. We got photo booth and cookies and coffee and everything out there for you. But before you go, let us pray for you. Now, if you prayed to respond to Jesus in any way, whether to give your life to Christ or to recommit your life to Christ, I want to tell you, that's the greatest gift exchange you'll have all year. I promise you, it's the greatest gift exchange you'll have this Christmas. And give your life to Jesus like crazy. Just go all in. Don't try to figure him out. He's figuring you out. Don't worry about figuring him out. But I want to ask if you do this for us. There's a card in the seat in front of you. If you made a decision to follow Jesus today, would you just grab that card and fill it out? And there's a place on there where it says you can say, I accepted Christ as my Lord and Savior, or I recommitted my life to Jesus. And we just want to follow up with you. We promise not to be too weird. We want to tell you about baptism and getting into a small group, and getting into your next steps here at the church. We want to invite you to just belong to this crazy bunch of people here that gather at Life Point Church. And then the other thing is, as you leave, we have the pray first guides for you. We start January 1st, 21 days of fasting and prayer. And so we have a 65-page prayer guide for you that'll just give you some direction. You just kind of take it randomly or go through it methodically, however you want. You can figure out how to use it. There's also a guide for 90 days of reading your New Testament, how to get through that all in 90 days, the first 3 months of the year, and some guidelines to do a long fast. And then we also have these wristbands that we had made for you that say, pray, listen, move. And that's going to be our motto as we go through January. We're going to pray first, then we're going to listen and let God speak to us through his word and by his Holy Spirit. And then we're going to live in response to what God's directing us in. Amen, everybody. How many of you are ready for 2019 to start the right way? Amen. Amen. Come for prayer. Grab your guys. I love you. Have a holly jolly Christmas. Peace out, everybody. Merry Christmas.